for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer Podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Doug.
Quickly, Moo. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The world mourning the death of Pope Francis. The 88-year-old pontiff died earlier today. The Vatican released his death certificate saying Francis suffered a cerebral stroke that led to a coma and then irreversible cardiocirculatory collapse. The first Jesuit in Latin elevated to the papacy, stating in his will that he wants his funeral to reflect his life of humility. ABC's Marcus Moore has details.
This was a man who was a different kind of pope, and when you read through his will, that really comes through. And what we will see in the funeral that is expected in the days ahead, that it will be in line with his wishes, and something that he hoped would be more of a less excessive and more of a humble type of proceeding. And that is the kind of pope that he was.
This is ABC News. Investors reacting this week to President Trump's calls that Fed Chair Jerome Powell stepped down after he made comments about the president's tariff plan.
Less than an hour after the opening bell, the S&P had lost 2% of its value, putting it 16% below the record set just 2 months ago. The value of the U.S. dollar, which has historically strengthened during turbulent times, also continues to fall. Analysts are worried the Trump tariffs could lead to recession if not pulled back. They're also concerned about recent comments the president made about Fed Chair Jerome Powell, angry at him for not lowering interest rates to boost the economy.
ABC Sherry Preston. Right now on the markets, all indexes are down about 3%. This afternoon, Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. set to hold a briefing and expected to announce, along with the FDA commissioner, their plan to phase out the use of petroleum-based synthetic dyes in the nation's food supply. It's all part of Kennedy's initiative to make America healthy again. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything.
Nothing is everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman has concerns about funding cuts coming from the Trump administration. Rothman told lawmakers at the Capitol last week several research fields could be impacted.
They're working on Alzheimer's. They're working on diabetes. They're working on cancer. They are working on agricultural developments that support the great farmers in the state of Wisconsin. They are working on things around fresh water, which I think is probably one of the single biggest assets our state has.
The UW system is asking for an additional $855 million in Governor Tony Evers' 2025-27 state budget. Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction tells the Trump administration no regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives.
DPI will not approve a U.S. Department of Education request that state education officials certify anti-discrimination obligations or risk losing federal funding. State Superintendent Jill Underley framed the rejection in terms of local control, saying the Trump administration directive is about Washington, D.C., wanting to dictate how schools from Racine to Green Bay to Ashland educate their kids. DPI says the administration has failed to respond to concerns the agency raised when the request was issued earlier this month. The decision could put federal funding for Wisconsin K-12 public schools at risk. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Green Bay's mayor is excited about the economic impact this week's NFL draft could have on the city and region. On Wisconsin Eye's Newsmakers program, Eric Genrich says the benefits will extend beyond Green Bay.
The $96 million figure, when you're talking about statewide impact, it's a tremendous benefit, not just to the Green Bay area, but to the state of Wisconsin. We're going to see that take place when everybody's in town and staying in some of those other places around Wisconsin and driving in for the event.
It's estimated between 250,000 and 300,000 people will attend the draft. It runs Thursday through Saturday. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still battling a breezy wind today, gusting up to 30 miles per hour under mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures still stay mild, scraping the mid-50s. And tomorrow, we reach the low 60s with scattered showers and maybe a thunderstorm. That'll be mainly early with more sunshine expected on Wednesday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 48.
Ventures. This is AOA, produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, thank you for being with us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by your friends and mine at Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's show, again, brought to you by Cenex. Sure, machinery operates flawlessly, even under the most challenging conditions with Cenex Maxtron THF Plus Full Synthetic Tractor Hydraulic Fluid. Visit Cenex.com today, or better yet, go to your nearest store location and have a conversation with your trusted experts there at your local Cenex. Coming up on today's show, we are going to take a look at the weather outlook here in segment two. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will be with us to give us his thoughts on what looks like it could be another active week of weather ahead. We might be dodging raindrops to get some planting activity done. Coming up here after the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a conversation about hunger in rural America with Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer at Feeding America. He'll join us here in just a little bit. Then at the end of the show, we'll take a look at news headlines, including an update on how the sorghum industry is dealing with tariffs, trade, and much, much more. American Ag Network and Farm and Ranch Media's Corinne LaRue talked with National Sorghum Producers Chairwoman Amy France. We'll hear that conversation and take a look at other news headlines coming up in segment four of today's AOA. Let's kick things off and talk markets. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. And Darren, hope you had a nice Easter holiday weekend. And coming out of a three-day weekend in the markets, I'd say we're pretty flat to neutral to start things off, at least in terms of grains and the livestock sector, Darren.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse. You're right. I mean, most of the activity is in other markets. Now, before we get too deep into that, I want to say that's a heck of a lineup that you've got for today. It's going to be a great program because all three of those play an important role in the markets that we're dealing with right now. Obviously, John and the weather. But I'm also interested in that last piece on sorghum, because we are seeing little to no export demand for U.S. sorghum. And, you know, here we are coming up on another planting and growing season, so we know we're going to have more supply. So that is a key issue. So certainly would be interesting to listen to that. Now, that having been said, yeah, grains and livestock, both relatively quiet coming out, but I can't help but think, see, with what we're seeing in outside markets, there's going to be a ripple effect. We've got the dollar collapsing again, down 100 points at this time, and it's, you know, been further than that. It's fallen more than that coming out of the weekend. We've got gold just screaming higher. It's going by $100 levels, almost faster than we can click. And we've got the energy markets just collapsing. So, I mean, there's a lot going on in the outside markets, not to mention the continued pressure in equities. And I can't help but think that's going to spill over into live cattle and possibly the livestock sector as a whole.
Well, and I know you mentioned this in your morning commentary, a BBC piece, China warning nations against appeasing the U.S. in trade deals. And just have to wonder if a lot of this outside market volatility is tied to some of the ongoing U.S.-China tit-for-tat, so to speak. I mean, is that one of the key reasons here, Darren, or is there other things at play?
I think that is the key reason for most markets. Certainly, I mean, we saw it coming, you know, right off the bat, starting trade this week with, again, the U.S. dollar just collapsing. We've got gold skyrocketing, and we've got U.S. stock indexes falling. The basically bottom line is, you know, the rest of the world is not comfortable with the overall situation, with the overall trade situation between the U.S. and China. And at this point, it is a sell the U.S. type mentality. So anything that the U.S. has been involved with or has its name on, folks are selling. That gives us an idea of what the general view of this trade war is globally. Most folks, you know, what we've done is we've led most folks to side with China in this, which is interesting. And as you said, you know, the BBC piece talking about how, you know, China is now basically putting a threat to all of those countries who are supposedly in talks to get tariffs reduced on them. They're saying, don't do this. And so now we'll see what the, you know, how long that arm can stretch. And if that changes the situation as we go through this week.
Darren Newsom with Bar Chart joining us here on AOA. Darren, when we look at fund activity in the grains and just volume overall, it doesn't look like volume is very high, trade volume is, over corn, soybeans, et cetera. What are you seeing when you look at things from that perspective, Darren?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was almost non-existent, which is strange. This time of year, getting this deep into spring, to come out of a three-day weekend into a Monday morning with such little trade volume. And this tells me, again, that the focus is on other market sectors. Now, we have to keep in mind, we're in that transition period from old crop, particularly in corn and soybeans, from old crop to new crop. So there's a little give and take here. Again, they're going to be looking at weather maps. We can look at what's happened over this past week, and we see rains fell pretty much across most of the U.S. plains in the Midwest. So we know already that there wasn't as much planting progress made last week as what usually is. And we don't need the made up numbers later this afternoon to tell us that. We know that. But what's interesting is, what will John say? What will his forecast say for those same areas? Is it going to stay wet, you know, wet over much of this planting area? And if so, how much further behind does it push the United States?
You mentioned in the livestock sector as well, maybe some impacts with all the outside market moves on, say, cattle, hogs. Overall, cattle trade a little bit lower here to start the week after we've seen a pretty sizable rally in cattle back from some of the sharp sell-off and more. Just, I would say this cattle market still feels resilient, Darren. Would you agree?
I would agree, yeah. And you know, particularly on the feeder cattle side, it's been interesting. Now, if we look at the live cattle, and if we take the name off the chart, and we just look at it from a technical point of view, which is probably crazy, what we see is a classic move within what still could be considered a downtrend. We haven't taken out the previous high. If we look at the June live cattle, that was up at, what, 199.40, just short of $200. That's just crazy. And then, you know, so We initially extended, you know, bumped up here early this week, and then have already come down here over the first hour or so. So now it'll be interesting to see what happens if we resume the selling. And if this selling is tied to the pressure, you know, to spillover pressure coming from stock indexes, and that would mean theoretically, or from a technical point of view, we should take out the previous low of near 192. So there's some downside risk to this market. It has been resilient. We've seen it in the cash side. We've seen it in boxed beef. But at what point does the market throw in the towel and say, look, we're just not going to play this game anymore? It's going to be an interesting ride here over the next month or so.
Very, very true. Darren, any quick final thoughts for folks here as they're watching the markets this week?
Yeah, we have to be, as always, particularly in these times, we have to be very aware of what's being said, not necessarily what's being done, but what's being said. And we know there's going to be some sort of retaliatory comment to what has happened over the weekend. We just don't know exactly when, we don't know exactly what, and we don't know how the markets will move when it's done.
DarrenNewsom.com for more with that. Senior market analyst at Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
AOA Today brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable, just like the markets. They're unpredictable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Weather is also unpredictable. We're going to get an update. ETN meteorologist John Baranek joins us next here on AOA.
Most folks just stick with the diesel engine oil they know, because why sweat the details? But you don't. You're one of those who'd make the switch, and we're talking to you. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. While the others experience wear and tear, you give complacency a kick in the pants. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit Martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
/plastics.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And we get
continue here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Well, are we going to be dodging rain showers all week long? How is that forecast shaping up here as a lot of folks are trying to get more and more field work done? Let's get a rundown of things. Joining us, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, hope you had a nice Easter holiday weekend. I know for some folks, they saw a fair amount of rain that probably put a halt to any sort of field work activity. There was some severe weather thrown in. I know it was almost a 2-mile-wide tornado I saw in southwest Iowa, among other places. Nebraska saw some tornadoes and more. So obviously, it was a fairly active weekend of weather this past weekend, John.
Yeah, that's exactly what the word I would have used. Pretty active weekend, especially if you were kind of in the middle of the country here, ruining your Easter activities. If you do it outside, do those egg hunts and everything, I'm sure a lot of folks got flooded out from that. So it wasn't great to see. But it was also some areas that needed some rain as well. So, you know, kind of double-edged sword. It's always that way this time of year. That's probably my term I use most frequently during the spring and the fall, is just a double-edged sword. You know, it was some good rainfall, but also a little too heavy. So, I mean, areas from north central Texas up through really the Ozarks, but through much of Missouri got hit with some pretty heavy rainfall in there, too. I mean, there's plenty of stripes out there over 4 inches. So not good to see that kind of rain. We got flood warnings all kind of in and sprinkled in that area, you know, to go along with all the flood warnings that remain across the Delta region into the Ohio Valley as well, where the rainfall was, you know, really heavy a couple weeks ago. So, and there's a lot of folks out there that are saying, hey, let's stop this here for a bit. It's nice to get some rain and to erase our drought, or at least ease it a bit. But let's quit this so we can get out into our fields a bit.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you know, looking at the week ahead here, I think a lot of folks, even though we have time on the calendar, a lot of folks are wondering here, okay, is this active pattern going to stick around for a while? Are we talking into the first part of May? I mean, are we going to be dodging showers and thunderstorms to try and get field work done where we can? I mean, how is this shaping up as you look at the 7 to 10 day forecast right now, John?
Yeah, I mean, it still looks active. I mean, I think we used that word, or busy, or whatever it was, last week. And it certainly turned out to be that way. And unfortunately, this week, it looks to be kind of much of the same. Maybe not in the same areas and maybe not the same amounts, but we got tons of systems, fronts kind of hanging around, producing showers basically every day this week, and possibly going into early May as well for a lot of it. So, you know, it's just, it's tough, Jesse. I mean, it's system after system. We don't have a good reason to believe it won't be troublesome for some folks. But, you know, there's still plenty of drought and long-term deficits we need to erase, especially those out in the plains and even portions of the upper Midwest and Southeast that will kind of enjoy it, even if it does push back our intentions a bit. But, you know, we're going to need the rain at some point. So, as long as it's on the table, might as well take it when we can get it. And there's some areas out there that have winter crops in the plains that would really enjoy to have some rain. And we've got kind of daily chances here for Western Kansas starting on Tuesday and going into the weekend. So that's, I mean, it's good news for some, but, you know, obviously there's plenty of us that would like to get outside and do some work. And it's going to be a little bit troublesome to do that, unfortunately, as well.
Well, another thing here, and I think we touched on this last week, is soil temperatures and frost risk and more. And I've heard from some growers that, you know, they talked with some of their trusted experts and more, and looked at the forecast and said, you know, I'm going to try to beat some of these showers here. This was ahead of last weekend, and maybe get into the field and get some things planted. And they weren't too worried about any frost risk or things like that. But I mean, when you look at this, John, I guess I would say this, it's still early, but
the longer we have an active pattern that delays field work, I have to think some folks are going to get more and more concerned, right?
You get into May and you've had quite an active period here and you haven't been able to get anything going. That just squeezes your window quite a bit, right? So, yeah, it's not great. But you're right about the temperatures. I mean, we don't have a ton of cold air out there. And even where it's, and I'm using air quotes you can't see, but colder up in the northern plains and in Minnesota, say this week, where, you know, temperatures are still in the 50s and 60s for highs. So it's not like we've got a ton of cold air out there kind of keeping temperatures down. So that's, I mean, we're at the end of April. That's good news. But I mean, we still have, there's always still a risk out here for some of us for hitting that. Now, if you just start planting now and your corn just starts coming up, you know, at the beginning of May and you're not really concerned about that until that growing point breaches the surface. So, I mean, I don't know, as long as temperatures are okay, I don't see, and your moisture's not going to bog you down while you're in there. I wouldn't say that we have bad conditions for getting out there. It's not ideal for those of us across the north. But you know, as long as your temperature or your soil moisture is going to allow it, I don't really see a huge risk to getting, you know, some of that deep cold that sticks around for a while that would really kill something off. You know, there's always that risk for something patchy moving through into early May, but I don't really see it being a huge risk right now.
DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us here today on AOA. And John, how much have you looked at some of the summer modeling? I know there's been a lot of chatter out there about potential for drought risk here in parts of the U.S. and some folks talking about how dry it is in, say, Mexico in the southwest, and could some of that spread its way northward here during the growing season and more. I mean, how much have you looked at some of that modeling? And part two of that question is, how much should we truly be concerned about it at this time period?
Yeah. You know, every year is different, right? So we can get signals from past years that kind of point us in a direction, but it doesn't give us the full picture. Every year is going to be different for every part of the country. So, but with that said, I mean, we use history to kind of guide us in that forecast area for the summer here. And, you know, I don't like the way we're setting up for the middle of the country here for the summer. I'm pretty sure that just about every outlet out there has the same sort of concerns about it. But, you know, it's hard to detail exactly how terrible that might be, but you know, a lot of us are talking about between the Rockies and the Mississippi being pretty hot and dry here this summer. I don't think that's a very big surprise to anybody. But I think that, you know, just because we're given that forecast out and we would expect to see some more difficulties doesn't mean exactly for your farm that would totally manifest itself in complete destruction, right? So, you know, while we do have these sorts of forecasts kind of going out there, and it's something to keep in mind as you make other decisions on your farm, either merchandising or you know, what kind of hybrid you might use this year or even what crop, that, you know, just because we have that kind of concern out there, and I think because we're all saying it means there's a pretty good chance that we're going to see that, that it doesn't necessarily mean doom and gloom for you. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people out there, I think, that are going to throw out some years that might scare people. They probably have some good reason to do it. Eventually I might do that myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't just say, you know, everybody between the Rockies and the Mississippi are just going to have a down year and everything's going to be horrible and your production is going to be bad for everything and prices are going to skyrocket and all this stuff. We can't. I would never say anything like that. One, I'm not smart enough. Two, I don't think I don't think the weather works that way. You know, you can even in a hot and dry year, you're going to get stretches of cooler weather and some rain, And that might just come at the right time. We've seen that multiple times. It may just be in patches here and there, but for some folks, even in these areas that we're looking at, might not end up with such a terrible situation.
We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll continue to track things with you, of course, each week here on AOA. DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. AOA brought to you by Cenex. Premium diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more about Cenex premium diesel fuels by visiting Cenex.com. Up next, we're going to talk rural hunger with Vince Hall from Feeding America here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wernikens. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk up 37 to 1867, June up 27 to 1770, July up 20 to 1810, August milk up 7 at 1835. Live cattle and feeder cattle markets moving up mostly lower as we start out the week. Again, pressure coming from outside markets as a big drop in the stock markets as the trade just a bit spooked. And now hog markets are mostly mixed. There are still some higher pork cutout values, and that's helping to support some of the contracts. April live cattle down 12 cents at 209.70. May feeder cattle down 75 cents to 286.10. May hogs up 40 cents to 90.80. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets relatively flat. Soybeans and wheat moving mostly lower. While the rain is slowing down planting over the next 7 to 10 days, that rain is reducing and relieving some of the drought conditions in parts of the western corn belt and also in the plains. And meanwhile, lower crude oil markets and a lower stock market also providing some pressure to the markets. May corn down, now up rather, 1.25 to 483.5. New crop, though, down a quarter to 465.75. May beans down 5 to 1031.5. New crop down 5.25 to 1027.25. Chicago wheat, May now down 6.75 to 542. With markets, I'm Brian Wernikens.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Keep your vehicle safe with new brake pads and rotors from Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center in Durand. Through April 30th, save $25 per axle on all brake pads and rotors Factory Motor Parts carries. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Your partner's network car care center is Adams Super Service, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Every piece of land tells a story. The right equipment helps you tell it your way. Impromptu ball games, evenings with friends, or working on your own little piece of paradise. That's your story. A John Deere mower from Tractor Central helps you get there with precision, comfort, speed, and even a little fun. Visit Tractor Central to find the right John Deere lawn tractor or zero turn for your property. And a quality cut? That's only the beginning. Start now at TractorCentral.com.
It's a John Deere day.
Gov.
Mm-hmm.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex, premium diesel and lubricants. Trust your local experts. Visit your nearest Cenex location today for more information on the products that they have for your equipment on your operation. Well, let's talk about the hunger crisis in rural America. Joining us for a conversation on this important issue is Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer at Feeding America. Vince, it is great to talk with you here today. Hope all is well. Thanks for joining us.
Jesse, thank you so much for inviting me on to the show today. Really appreciate it.
Well, let's dive in, and I think let's just start. Why is hunger more common in rural areas? Can you give us some perspective there?
Well, the statistics are pretty staggering. 90% of the counties in the United States that have the highest rates of food insecurity are rural counties. The reasons are complex. It has to do with the smaller employment base in rural communities. If there is a plant closure or a farm closes, the employees often have a hard time quickly finding other work, and in many cases actually have to move to different communities. For people seeking access to affordable groceries, they might not find those opportunities in their town. They might have to drive two or three or four towns away to find access to affordable groceries, and unfortunately the money they spend on the gasoline eats up the savings that they would have found at the cash register. So there are a variety of things that conspire to make things challenging in rural communities. But the good news is that Feeding America food banks are deeply committed to serving everybody in need in every rural community. And indeed, we reach every county in the United States currently through the work of the over 250 food banks in the Feeding America network and the over 60,000 church pantries, other faith-based organizations, and other nonprofit organizations that receive food from those food banks.
Well, I know we can talk about the role farmers play in this mission here in just a second, but what are some ways that we can reduce hunger in rural communities? And I know this can also tie into the Farm Bill and the SNAP program, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But just overall, from your perspective, what are some ways we could reduce hunger in rural communities, Vince?
Well, you know, one is that we have to take seriously a conversation about what is happening to farmers and other agricultural producers. Recent years have been incredibly difficult for our farmers, and the number of acres that are in production has declined. The number of family farms has declined. And, you know, we can't solve hunger without food. I know that sounds obvious, but we don't want to be dependent on other countries to feed America's people. We need to be able to take care of our own. And when our farmers are not able to thrive, our food banks and our ability for people to feed themselves without food banks are not able to thrive. And so, you know, if I can take a moment just to say that for over 50 years, food banks and farmers have been in deep and meaningful partnerships. A lot of times a farmer grows a crop and there isn't a market for that crop. Rather than till that crop back into the soil, they often call the local food bank, and the food bank is able to help offset some of the cost, perhaps, of getting that food out of the field and into the warehouse. But, you know, we're determined to continue to strengthen that partnership with farmers because we stand with them and we benefit from that partnership by having robust, healthy agricultural economies, but also having access to the food resources that we need to end hunger. So we can't do one without the other, and we're committed to doing both.
Well, and you kind of hit it there. I was going to segue over and talk about how farmers play a role in the mission to end hunger. And, you know, dare I say, they have the most important role, Vince, in growing the crops, the food that we need to nourish ourselves and feed our communities, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, there isn't a farmer I've ever met who isn't intent on seeing the bounty of their harvest feed people. I mean, that is their goal, is to ensure that everybody has access to the foods that they're producing and is able to be nourished and thrive from those foods. It is tragic that there are a myriad of reasons this happens, but oftentimes the people that participate in harvesting those crops aren't able to afford to buy those crops. And so in rural communities, you have this disconnect where people who are involved in producing that bounty are sometimes unable to be the beneficiaries of it and turn to food banks for assistance. If it weren't for the dedicated partnership of farmers and food banks, we would fall far short in our ability to meet the needs. I mean, solving rural hunger is expensive. You're driving longer distances with smaller quantities of food to serve smaller populations. But we, as an organization, Feeding America, is passionate about solving rural hunger. And that's why we're able now to be in operation in every county in the United States. But the government also plays a role. And there are government programs we can talk about where the government helps not only to support farmers to thrive, but they help farmers they help the commodities from farmers get to people in need through food banks. And those partnerships have never been more important than they are right now, with hunger rates at record highs and resources available to food banks declining.
Vince Hall with Feeding America joining us here today. Let's touch on a few of those government programs. And I know a lot of folks know the SNAP program, of course, but what about the Emergency Food Assistance Program? Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why it's important?
Sure. The Emergency Food Assistance Program, also known as TFAP, was started by President Reagan in 1983 as a way of making sure that surplus commodities that were in government inventory got out to people in need. And what that did for food banks was that as Congress improved and strengthened the program, food banks began to receive scheduled deliveries of diverse product types. And that helps to smooth out the ebb and flow of donated foods that come to food banks. Government food is only 22% of what food banks distribute in general. But that percentage grows higher in rural food banks because in rural communities, there's less opportunity to rescue food from grocery stores or to rescue food from a variety of agricultural producers. So TFAP is rural America's hunger lifeline. It's the most important program that sustains the rural food bank's ability to serve their communities. But the TFAP program needs to get bigger. The food banks are struggling to meet the demand in their communities. They need more support from TFAP, and they need more funding in the form of storage and distribution funds to be able to afford to store and distribute those federal commodities. So it's a program that works well. It's just not working large enough.
Well, Vince, let's talk about SNAP. And there is a lot of talk on Capitol Hill right now regarding the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, talking about cuts, rollbacks to some of the SNAP funding, or putting work requirements and guardrails on folks getting the SNAP funding and more. And it's a very contentious issue between Democrats and Republicans on the ag committees and more. And there's a lot of pent-up frustration, I would say, surrounding the SNAP program, with it being such a large piece of the farm bill. By and large, that is what has delayed us getting a new five-year farm bill here for the last several years. But talk about this from your perspective at Feeding America, as we're trying to curb rural hunger and more. In your view, what would happen if Congress doesn't strengthen funding for SNAP in this farm bill, or we see rollbacks in funding and cuts and more and more? So just from your perspective, what would happen if we see some changes to SNAP with a new farm bill?
Well, this would be a very unfortunate to miss this opportunity to strengthen the SNAP program through the farm bill, because the fact is the SNAP program provides 9 meals for every 1 meal provided by America's food banks. And it is America's frontline defense against hunger and malnutrition. 42 million Americans qualify for the program, and it is a vital source of support. The people in the SNAP program who are able to work, almost all do work. It's just that the jobs and the wages that they're receiving are not sufficient to cover the inflated costs of groceries and gas and rent and the other monthly essentials. But honestly, that's not the majority of SNAP. The majority of participants in the SNAP program are children, and we want every child to be nourished and fit and ready to learn when they come to school. It's people with disabilities who can't be reasonably expected to find work. It's senior citizens who deserve dignity in their golden years. There are so many people in the SNAP program who are either working as hard as they can in multiple jobs or can't reasonably be expected to work, that to begin cutting that program is not going to cut hunger. It's merely going to shift the responsibility to the food bank. And that is a dangerous scenario because, as I said, food banks are already stretched to the breaking point. They don't have the resiliency to absorb a big increase in need in those communities.
Vince, anything final you would add for us real quick before we close it out?
I would just encourage people to get involved with their local food bank. They can donate their time and volunteer shifts. They can donate funds at whatever level they're able. They can donate food, and they can donate their voice. They can stand with the food bank as advocates for ending hunger. They can work in their faith communities, their neighborhoods, their workplaces, their families, to educate people on this issue. And if we generate enough political will, we can solve the issue of hunger in the United States, and we will.
With that, we appreciate the time. Vince Hall with Feeding America, thanks so much for joining us here today on AOA. We'll let you go, and we will look forward to talking again in the future.
Thank you so much. Anytime. Pleasure to be here.
Once again, Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer with Feeding America, joining us here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. Ensure your machinery operates flawlessly, even under the most challenging conditions, with Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel and Cenex Heavy Duty Diesel Engine Oils. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at ag news headlines to close out the show, including a special report with American Ag Network and Farm and Ranch Media's Corinne LaRue, getting an update on the sorghum industry with Amy France, the chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers. We'll get to all that and more coming up next on AOA.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
They told us nothing but lies.
These timeshare thieves out there are terrible.
They bullied us.
Our timeshare is all a scam.
They stole from us. They were thieves.
I was completely taken advantage of.
Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, and I know the tough spot you're in. Are you asking yourself, why did I buy that timeshare? I'll tell you why, because that presentation wasn't a normal sales pitch. It was a show to convince you that timeshare is a great investment. They told you it was available today and today only. They said you're foolish if you don't buy, and unfortunately, you believed them. We get over 3,000 complaints a week from folks just like you that were misled into buying a timeshare. Give us a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-885-3300. 800-885-3300. 800-885-3300.
And the Ad Council.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Tearing up asphalt, concrete, and soil is a dirty job. What fuels me to get it done? Big crews and big toys. What fuels my equipment? Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel with an additive package that's 2.5 times more effective in preventing injector deposit buildup, delivering the power I need in the dirtiest conditions. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
America's farmers and ranchers need AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back as AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. Ensure your machinery operates flawlessly, even under the most challenging conditions with Cenex Maxtron THF Plus Full Synthetic Tractor Hydraulic Fluid. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Well, let's take a look at a few news headlines, and it's not good to plant into wet soils. That's the first bit of advice agronomists from the University of Illinois have for farmers in the month of April. It is worse to plant in cold, wet soils. Giovanni Prezafontes, extension agronomist with the University of Illinois, says there's still plenty of time for field conditions to improve.
We don't want to plant if the soil is too wet just because of, that's not a good start for the crops. It's probably gonna have a negative impact on emergence and establishment, and you're not setting yourself to having a good stance.
The first rule is to wait for soil conditions to be good for planting. When that happens, farmers should work to get their seeding rates dialed in to deliver a plant density that maximizes profitability.
So when we look at corn overall, what we found is that, and again, this is looking at the economic optimum plant density, right? So overall, what we found in our research is that we kind of maximizing the highest dollar return to seed when we have population densities of about 34 to 36 plants per acre. For soybeans, we see the maximum return to seed. It's around, 115,000 plants to 120,000 plants per acre.
U of I agronomist says the seeding rates are conservative numbers related to the economic analysis. They used $4 per bushel for corn, $10 per bushel for soybeans, and a seed cost of 50 cents per thousand seeds. You can read more online. Just go to farmdoc.illinois.edu and search for corn and soybean seeding rates. Well, in this special report, American Ag Network and Farm and Ranch Media's Corinne LaRue catches up with National Sorghum Producers Chairwoman Amy France to talk tariffs and dynamics across the sorghum industry.
Amy France, chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers, joins us to discuss the ongoing challenges facing the sorghum industry, particularly in light of shifting trade dynamics.
we're no strangers to this. We were very familiar with it and I would say slightly prepared. Since we know what happened in 2018, we've certainly been looking back at that playbook to anticipate and to begin the conversations.
France says NSP has been closely monitoring the situation, drawing from the lessons learned during the first Trump administration's trade disruptions in 2018. Since November 2024, when China reduced its buying, sorghum growers have been navigating the effects of diminished demand from one of their major markets. France explained that while the situation has been ongoing, the organization proactively adapted by starting early conversations with alternative markets.
So we certainly have been navigating this for a while. It is not a new conversation for us. And so we were able to kind of take a proactive look and approach to this and started the conversations early as to what we can do. So, all right, if China's gone, then let's talk about the other markets we've been working on for years, such as Vietnam or India.
Looking beyond immediate challenges, France highlights long-term solutions the industry is pursuing. One of the key focuses is on American-grown biofuels, with efforts to secure sustainable solutions for the future.
Yes, let's focus on the case at hand, which is trade today. But in that problem, let's create solutions, not just for today, but in future, and what our farmers can do the next year and the next year and for future generations coming back to the farm.
While Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says she's hopeful it won't have to come to it, the USDA is prepared to roll out farm aid similar to that which was given to producers in 2018.
This president has been resolute in his conviction that he will be there for the farmers no matter what. And he was in 2018, 2019 under Secretary Perdue with the use of the CCC fund to mitigate a lot of those consequences. And I fully expect that we will be, if necessary, hopefully not necessary, but if necessary, we'll be there again.
France says NSP is thankful for those considerations and looks forward to continuing to be actively engaged in negotiations to secure the future of the industry. Here's France again.
So glad the conversations are being had if need be. And as we visit with Secretary Rollins and others and leadership, we're saying thank you for those considerations. But again, just trying to refocus conversation on, okay, let's figure out where we're moving forward and let's make these changes effective and meaningful in every step we take to give some certainty to our farmers and our members. That's certainly our conversation and our focus on, okay, yes, this is happening today. Now, what are we doing for tomorrow?
Looking ahead, the organization's focus remains on both short-term solutions and long-term stability.
I think it's just important to remind our members that we're very much at these at the table and with these conversations. You know, we're not just the spokespersons for National Sorghum. We're farmers ourselves. And so we're bringing these conversations forward and have a real firsthand experience of generation farmers. Just saying that as there's some uncertainty, we just want to assure our members that we are at the conversation table and honored to do so and be at those negotiations to represent our sorghum producers and ensuring that they can keep doing what they're doing for another year.
I'm Corinne LaRue.
And thanks, Corinne, for that report. And finally, on Thursday, the U.S. Trade Representative took what it called targeted action to restore American shipbuilding and address China's unreasonable acts, policies, and practices to dominate the maritime, logistics, and shipbuilding sectors. Despite concerns from export-dependent industries such as agriculture, the Trump administration moving ahead with that plan to charge fees to Chinese ships. Now, the fees will apply to Chinese ships for each voyage to the U.S., not for each port of call. After a 180-day no-fee time frame, ships based out of China will be charged up to $50 per ton starting October 24th. And then the tonnage fee would increase another $30 a ton on April 17th of next year and an increase of $30 a ton the next 2 years, reaching $140 a ton. Companies not based in China but using Chinese-built ships will be charged $18 per ton or $120 per container, whichever is higher. Some good news for agriculture, though. Susan Stroud, founder and analyst with Noble Ag, commented on social media that the news from USTR is much better for bulk ag exports than initially expected. She indicated that a key highlight included bulk vessels under 80,000 deadweight tonnage are excluded from fees. For context, many ag commodities travel on Panamax ships, which are around 75,000 deadweight tonnage. That is a look at news of agriculture here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more about Cenex Premium Diesel Fuels by visiting Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and food wrappers. Unfortunately, this isn't a joke. Here in the U.S., we generate the most plastic waste in the world, with 70% of it ending up in landfills. And by the time you're done listening to this ad, more than a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action. But it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with...
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And Doug.
Quickly move. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM, translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Pope Francis, who...